Probably most of us have seen the movie The Nutty Professor, either the one with Jerry Lewis or the other one that Eddie Murphy did, the same kind of version. But the Jerry Lewis one is my favorite one of the two, and so I'm going to use it for an example this evening. The story is that Lewis is Julius Kelp, a nerdy, awkward, buck-toothed, unkempt, socially inept chemistry professor, who develops a serum that turns him into Buddy Love. And he's then a handsome, smooth-talking, woman-chasing, totally obnoxious hipster. And he's the exact opposite of that gentle professor that he was at Professor Kelp. And yet Professor Kelp keeps taking the serum. Changing into Buddy Love gives him a taste of life that he has never experienced before, and he relishes the attention then that he receives. It's almost as if he becomes addicted to it. He can't give up, even though his alter ego wreaks havoc in his life. And of course, it's a Hollywood movie, and it's a comedy, and so you know everything's going to turn out all right in the end. But in real life, of course, it's not that easy. The Nutty Professor was loosely based on a much darker story, one by Robert Louis Stevenson, called The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And in this story, Dr. Jekyll also creates this alter ego through a secret portion, and he gets this evil Mr. Hyde, who wanders the city of London at night and committing all these atrocious murders. And as much as Jekyll despises this character that he has created, he cannot resist the evil man's powerful allure. And so he slowly degenerates as the dark side then kind of takes over his life. Well, last week we looked in the Romans, the 7th chapter, the chapter where Paul pours out his heart in this transparent admission of weakness and defeat, and then ultimately victory. In this chapter, Paul reveals that we have a dual nature. Each of us are, to some extent, then a Jekyll and a Hyde. And this darker side of our nature has the potential to destroy our lives if we don't learn to subdue it. And Paul admitted to this struggle in Romans the 17th chapter and verses 15 through 24. He says, "I don't understand myself at all. For I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong. And my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. But I can't help myself because it is sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. I know I am rotten through and through, so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. But if I am doing what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. The sin within me is doing it. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another law at work within me that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin?" And, last week we noted that there are four spiritual truths in this chapter that can help us in the process of defeating sin that so easily defeats us. The first truth, which we looked at last week, is the fact that God has developed a new way of keeping score, so to speak, in regards to our righteousness. The problem of sin and the law has been settled to the death of Christ. We are no longer bound to the law, though we are no longer under its power. We have forgiveness through Christ. Now, we don't strive to fulfill the law. We strive to serve God then through the Spirit. And this evening we're going to look at the remaining three spiritual truths in Romans 7, and assimilating these truths will help in the process of breaking free from sin's grip in your life. And I want to remind you, though, that this is not an instantaneous process. It takes time. Now, it's a victory that comes only by persistence and patience and relentless faith in the mercy of God. And here are the truths that I want you to take with you this evening. The first of all, I want you to be aware of, sin will never stop trying to get the best of you. Sin will never stop trying to get the best of you. There is a very real and malicious force at work in your life. It is your sinful nature. And it never stops trying to get the best of you. And Paul goes as far to say then, here in verse 20, he says, "Now I do what I do not want to do. It is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." This sounds close to, you know, don't blame it on me, the devil made me do it. But that's not what Paul is saying. You know, we cannot shift blame for actions to anyone or anything else. But we do need to be aware that our sinful nature is very real and very powerful and a very destructive presence in our lives. Now that you accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you have two natures. You have a Jekyll and you have a Hyde. You have a higher nature, a new nature that you receive when God's Spirit came to dwell within you. And you have this resident old nature, this sinful nature, whose presence remains with you as long as you have this mortal body. And this nature never gives up. It never stops trying to get the best of you. It works against your desires to be holy. It sabotages your efforts to be good. And Paul said this then in verse 8. "But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire." And then he goes on to verse 11, where he says, "For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death." Now, I want you to catch the phrase in here, the phrase that says, "Sin seize the opportunity." That's what the sinful nature does. It looks for the opportunity to be sinful. You know, it never stops trying to get the best of you. And here's what I want you to understand. Sin will do whatever it can do to wipe you out. Its goal is to destroy you. It is looking for an opportunity to mess up your life. So, what must we do about it? You know, well, we turn the locks, we bolt the door, we don't give it an opportunity. You know, if you can't behave when you go online, then don't go online, or move your computer into a place where there's a lot more traffic and more eyes see it. If you can't watch a ball game without losing your temper, then don't watch ball games. If you can't go to the mall without blowing your paycheck, then don't go to the mall. Be aware of the fact that you have an enemy that is your sinful nature, and it's always trying to get the best of you, and if you give it an inch, it'll take a mile. So be on guard. Now here's the second truth that I want you to take from here this evening. Your behavior will always be bothersome. Your behavior will always be bothersome. You know, as long as you live and breathe, if holiness is your goal, you'll never be satisfied with yourself. You'll always be troubled by your tendency to sin. Now, I remember reading these words for the first time, and I was struggling with obedience and ready to give up on myself. Certainly, God had already given up on me. And I discovered Romans 7. And I read Paul's words here. And he said this in verses 15 and 19. "I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway." The fact is that Paul wrote these words expressing this frustration with himself a full two decades after he became a Christian. 20 years of following Jesus, and he still wasn't satisfied with himself. You know, I don't know what his sins were. He doesn't get very specific in all this, but they were bad enough to cause him a great deal of anguish. And understand this, you're no different than Paul. Until you're perfect, your behavior will continue to bother you. And you'll never be perfect, at least not on this side of the kingdom of God. You have to accept the fact that the battle with sin is a lifelong battle. It never ends. Your behavior will always be bothersome. And that doesn't mean that you give up the fight and give in to temptation. It means that you accept the struggle as a daily reality, as part and parcel of the Christian life. It also means that when you lose the battle, as you will more times than you want, you get back up and you try again every day, day after day, as long as you live and breathe. God's grace guarantees you forgiveness. And as many times as you sin, he will extend mercy without limit. You never have to worry about that. But I want you to understand that living in God's grace doesn't mean that you sin as much as you want. It means that you sin more than you want. It's a simple truth of the Christian life. Your behavior will always be bothersome. You'll never be as good as you want to be. And the worst thing you can do is to give up, to quit trying. That's not the solution. The solution is to stay in the battle and fight one more day. Try one more time. Paul was one of the greatest Christians ever to live. And listen again to what he said then in verse 18. He says, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Like Paul, your good intentions will always exceed your ability to pull them off. Your reach in the Christian life will always exceed your grasp. You will always want to do more good than you can do. You want to commit less sin than you commit. Be a better person than the person that you are. That is the truth of the Christian life. Now there's a third thing that I want you to take away from here this evening. And that is only Jesus can help you resolve the tension. Only Jesus can help you resolve the tension. Paul finishes this discourse on frustration by saying this in verse 24, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? And then he says this in verse 25, he gives us the answer. He says, thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Even though sin is an ever-present enemy, and your behavior will always give you trouble, the good news is that you don't have to spend the entirety of your Christian life living in the frustration of Romans 7. Victory is a birthright for every believer. You can become an overcomer, and you can count on that. Paul makes bold proclamations on both sides of this confession of weakness that he has. In chapter 6, he says this in 6:14, sin shall not be your master. And then in chapter 8, he goes on to say, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You'll experience victory in the Christian life, but you'll also spend more than a little time living in Romans, the 7th chapter. Jesus helps you deal with the tension between who you are and who you want to be. And how does he do that? He does that in three ways. First, he has thrown away the requirements of the law. We saw that last week, and he has done that, done away with the punishment of sin for that. Consequences remain, we have to deal with those, but you no longer have to try to live by the law in order to earn salvation. A second thing is he offers you full and complete forgiveness, total acceptance. You know, like the prodigal son's father, you know, he opens his arms out and he welcomes you into this warm embrace. And he will never leave you or forsake you. He will never turn his back on you. You will always belong to him. And thirdly, he gives you as many second chances as you need. His goal for you is that you become holy. His purpose for you is that you become like Jesus. The problem is that you're not yet holy, not even close. And you can't get that way with just a couple of days of sincere effort. It takes a lifetime. It takes day after day after day of trying again and again. It takes a willingness to live with the tension of there being a gap between who you are and who you want to be. It takes tenacious faith in the mercy of God that God never gives up on you. You know, some of you this evening feel like you're living in a Jekyll Hyde existence. You know, one part of you wants to be good and holy and righteous. The other part of you sins with reckless abandon. If you're in the midst of this struggle, I want you to know that you will have victory. But it's not a snap your fingers type of victory. It doesn't happen overnight. In the process, you will experience frustration, some days of anguish, but victory is on the way. Romans 8:37, again, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In the meantime, there's something you can do today to ensure your freedom tomorrow. One is to be on guard against sin. Don't flirt with it. Be aware of its presence. Be aware of its power. Don't make it easy for sin to find you. Turn the lock and bolt the door when you can. Secondly, accept the fact that the struggle with sin is a lifelong battle. Don't put your faith in your goodness. Put your faith in his mercy. When you fall down, get up and try again. And then remember Paul's words here, to trust God to keep you secure in him until the day you win the battle. You know, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We cling to him and his mercy. And let the fact that he offers you full and complete forgiveness be the driving force of your life. Let it motivate you to try and try again until you finally can turn the page on your current struggle. And glory of glories, you'll find that you leave the frustration of Romans, the 7th chapter, behind. Victory is yours.